Book of the Month. More than a podcast, greater than a radio show, quite simply an audio treat for the enlightened with Jill Appleton and Jill Prowse, and every so often, some extremely lovely writers.
For August Book of the Month, we have been reading a book by Rosamund Lupton called Afterwards. It's sports day, and while Grace watches her 8-year-old son Adam competing, she suddenly notices black smoke coming from the school. She knows her teenage daughter Jenny, who has been working there as a teaching assistant, is inside, so she runs into the burning building to rescue her.
I reached the end of the rug and felt the texture change, and then I felt the first step. I began to climb the stairs up to the second floor on my hands and knees, keeping my face down to the oxygen. And all the time, I was refusing to believe it could really be happening. This place was soft-cheeked children. The fidgeting on the stairs, the washing lines strung up across the classrooms with flying pennants of children's drawings. It was reading books and chapter books and beanbags and fruit cut up in slices at break time. It was safe. Another step. All around me, I heard and felt chunks of Jenny and Adam's childhood crashing down. Another step. I felt dizzy, poisoned by something in the smoke. Another step. It was a battle, me against this living, breathing fire that wanted to kill my child. Another step. I knew I could never get to the third floor, that it would kill me before I could reach her. I felt her at the top of the stairs. She had managed to get down one flight. She was my little girl, and I was here and everything was going to be all right. All right now. Jenny? She didn't speak or move, and the fire's roar was getting closer, and I couldn't breathe much longer. I tried to pick her up, as if she was still tiny, but she was too heavy.
While Jenny lies critically ill in hospital, with a slim chance of survival, and Grace also lies in a coma with the prospect of never regaining consciousness, the police conclude that the fire was started deliberately, and the finger is pointed to Grace's son Adam. Grace's sister-in-law, Sarah, a detective sergeant, is certain that young Adam could not have started the fire and decides to begin her own investigation. What makes this story extraordinary is the fact that it is narrated by Grace. Grace and Jenny's spirits have become detached from their bodies and now float around the hospital, unseen by all those in the physical world. The two follow each step of the investigation as it unfolds and gradually piece together the terrible truth.
I remember Sally Healy on telly the evening of the fire, her pink linen shirt and cream trousers and assembly voice and immaculate makeup, and how the carefully assembled frontage had started to fall apart. Can you tell me who you knew to be in the building at the time of the fire?
Yes, there was one reception class. Our other reception class was at the zoo. All their names are in the register that I gave to you. There was also Annette Jenks, the school secretary, Tilly Rogers, a reception teacher, and of course Jennifer Covey, who is a temporary classroom assistant.
Was every other member of staff out of the building?
Yes, it's sports day. We needed all of them. We were ambitious in the number of activities, and it would be chaotic unless there were enough staff to run things smoothly.
Christ, Jenny says. Even now she's trying to promote the school. Did you see any members of staff return to the building?
Yes, Rowena White. Or at least I didn't see her, but I was told she'd gone to get the medals.
Anyone else?
No.
I know one of my officers asked you about this at the scene of the fire, but if you'd bear with me, I need to go over the same territory again.
Of course.
How easy is it for people to get into the school?
We have one entrance to the school, which is a locked gate. It is a numerical keypad. Only members of the staff know the code. Everyone else needs to be buzzed in from the office. Unfortunately, there have been instances in the past where parents have been irresponsible and held open the gate for someone without checking. We had an instance when a complete stranger got into the school because a parent inadvertently held the gate open for him. Since then, we have had a monitor installed, and our school secretary has to watch exactly who she's letting in.
So you think your school is secure?
Absolutely. Security for the children is our top priority.
Like Annette can be bothered to watch the monitor, Jenny says scathingly. Mrs. Healy must know what she's like, surely. Yes, I don't suppose she did when she hired her. and she knows that parents and some children know the code, gets really annoyed about it. If she's lying about the security on the gate, what else might she be lying about? Do you know of anyone who has a grudge against the school?
No, of course not.
I have to tell you that it looks at this stage as if the fire was arson. Please think if there is anyone who may have a grudge against the school. Mrs. Healy?
How could someone do this?
There are no stage directions for her mood at this point. Misery, fury, panic. Can you answer the question, please?
I cannot think of anyone who would want to do this.
Perhaps a member of staff...
No one would do this.
Have any members of staff left the school recently, say, in the last 6 months to a year?
But that's nothing to do with the fire.
Please, answer the question.
Yes, two. Elizabeth Fisher, our former school secretary, and Silas Hyman, a third-year teacher.
While Grace watches from her spirit world, she sees sides to people she hasn't seen before. She also has to deal with the frustration of watching her family fall apart while unable to do anything to help them. This is a really good mystery story with lots of red herrings to keep you guessing, while also exploring human emotion in a very real and honest way. Afterwards is the follow-up to Rosamund Lupton's debut novel Sister, which was one of last year's bestsellers. For any fans of her first book, I would say you won't be disappointed with her latest offering, an enjoyable read.
From Southside to the world, in association with Middlesbrough Library Services, it's The Book of the Month with Jill Appleton.
When you suffer a road accident that's not your fault, it's easy to be persuaded to go along with your insurer's recommendations. But I spoke to personal injury expert Charles Ather about that.
In my opinion, phrases like, you have free legal cover with this policy, are meaningless. If the accident wasn't your fault, you've nothing to pay anyway. I think what your insurer may mean is, but we've already sold your claim.
And if I don't want to be sold, can I choose my own solicitor?
Of course. It's your right to choose what's best for you.
Text claim to 81400 now.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and a high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides a perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential, elderly EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long-stay accommodation as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 308 188.
Farmer Nord is the chemist to call for your nutritional needs. All of our products have been built on scientific research to help with your health. Farmer Nord can even help in such areas as senile dementia, strokes, and Alzheimer's. All our products are made in accordance with pharmaceutical standards and guidelines. And all our products are just one call away. Call Farmer Nord on 01670 519989. That's 01670 519989. Or visit farmernord.co.uk. Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. care to call us home.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
From Southside to the world, and in association with Middlesbrough Library Services, it's the Book of the Month with Jill Appleton.
So it's always exciting to get a general flavour from the team in terms of what they made of the books of the month that are selected. And because he can't get into the studio, because he's all over the place in all manner of exciting things, we're delighted to say Rob Nichols, the editor, of course, of Fly Me to the Moon, and indeed lead man behind the band Shrug. What did you make of Afterwards?
I was really, really enjoyed it. I was really... You're really drawn into it. It's a book that you pick up, and it's the cliche, but you can't put it down because it's an intriguing situation, disturbing situation, unusual situation. But you're basically going from chapter to chapter. From what starts out as something that it's totally different. The book evolves in such a way that it turns into an Agatha Christie by halfway through, and every twist and turn, you have to be there for it, I think.
Did you find the multiple voices and multiple registers in which it's occasionally told? I mean, clearly it's told from the perspective of the mother to a large extent, but did you sometimes find that a little bit confusing, or did you think that actually added to the text?
No, I thought that added to it, actually. I didn't find it confusing. There's a couple of times within it when there was a conversation and I wasn't absolutely sure who was speaking to whom. But by and large, I thought it was such an original take on it, the out-of-body sort of narrator, that it was a great way of getting sort of a bird's eye view of what was going on, of what was evolving after the incident that starts the book.
There's a sense that the MacGuffin, if you like, of that whole notion of the afterlife and so on. I mean, obviously we hear all kinds of lines within that, would put it into the science fiction fantasy field. Would you say that was the case, or would you say no? It's a hardcore thriller, kind of mystery, and it's got sort of maybe SFO overtones only if you really push for it.
Well, it is fantastical genres, and you do think, as you read the first few chapters, I wonder what this is going to have to say about the afterlife or whatever. I wonder how that point is going to be tackled, because you do wonder. And are we going to move into full-blown sci-fi? Is it going to be some sort of moral tale? Is it going to have some sort of religious overtones or whatever? And you wonder how the author is going to handle all those issues. And So it does definitely step across different boundaries, but I think primarily it's a very unusual way of doing a kind of like murder whodunit, really.
And perhaps a bit like the text itself, it transcends the generic forms effortlessly. So I think hats off to Rosamund Lupton for that. Would you see it being a movie? Would you see it being a cinematic line that people could actually take and sort of say, yes, this is good? I'm thinking really of Ghost here in many ways.
Yeah. Yes, I would, actually. I do think it could be interesting to see how it was adapted, but I think it could, definitely. I think it could be quite a... it would be quite a big hit. I think was it one day that we read about a year ago,
which is
obviously...
We paved the way, didn't we, really? I mean, clearly,
yeah.
Set that scene going in all manner of ways.
Yeah.
So finally,
no, I do see that.
The ultimate question then, the marks out of 10, where would you go for Osmond Lupton and afterwards?
I'm going to go for 9 out of 10.
Okay. Being chosen as an author for the Southside Book of the Month with Jill Appleton is one of life's top honours. Now on to the Booker Prize for Literature.
So it's obviously not just Rob Nichols, who I gather he's actually attending a wedding. That's the reason he can't actually be with us in the studio. So he's also put in his pre-recorded package as to what he thought about afterwards. But Jill Prowse, actually not at a wedding, but primarily because slight confusion with respect to times, Jill. But never mind, life continues.
Oh, of course it does. We're fine.
So share with us your thoughts on this Rosamund Lupton opus.
Thoroughly enjoyed it, that's all I can say. You must get it out of the library and have a read. Afterwards was well written. I got so into the story, I couldn't put it down. And a really good story, it kept your attention right throughout. In fact, the only complaint I have is that when it ended, I didn't want it to end when it did. I wanted more. I wanted it to sort of carry on and tie up all the ends for me. But that was just because I'd got so involved in it. And I think that's I've never read anything by Rosamund Lupton before, but I shall certainly be getting Sister out to have a read. And I think that's... Her style of writing does grip you, and it's very easy to read and just feels like you're part of the story.
High praise indeed. Did you feel that the portrayal of the male characters was kind of uniformly negative? I mean, all of them had little flaws. I felt that some of the, certainly in terms of the mother and daughter, they were, actually maybe they had flaws as well. I don't know. Was that just me?
I don't know. I mean, I have to say that the husband in it, I actually, because... As a mother of a daughter, the actual thought of what had happened in this story is just too horrific to even contemplate. And the emotions that the mother went through in this very quirky, this is the whole point about it. It could have been a bit farcical. It could have been totally unbelievable. But the way she wrote it, you felt just part of it and that why not? Why couldn't this happen? I don't want to give anything away to anybody who's going to read it. But the point is I got so involved in that story and I felt so upset for the mother and how she must be feeling for the daughter. And then the husband in it, I felt that was totally believable, actually, because I thought of my own husband and I thought how torn he would be in a situation where he's got a wife and a daughter, both in these critical situations, in different parts of a hospital. You would be totally torn. And the very interesting story that's behind it, that's the beauty of this book, it isn't just one-dimensional. You've got so many takes on the storyline. And so what I felt was that he was so torn, and then when you heard the story behind the story, if you like, his feelings were just so raw as to not being able to protect his daughter as a father would want to have protected. So I liked the husband's character very much, and I thought it was very, very believable. And the sort of the other men, the father of, the father who was, you thought was the violent one. And yeah, I don't know. I didn't feel that they were a bit predictable. I actually liked each story, even the boyfriend. I thought that was his character, you see. I thought he was going to come over and be what the mum thought he would be, you know.
Waste of space.
Yeah, waste of space, and he wasn't at all. And that was a lovely sort of take on that side. So maybe it's just me, but I just absolutely loved all the characters and the way she portrayed the characters.
Okay, we'll take one of the questions from the sort of reading group discussion points, which I thought was quite interesting. Did you actually guess who the arsonist was?
Not till right near the end. It really kept me guessing, because I'm afraid when I do read a book that I love, I'm terrible for trying to think in my mind, well, who's this? It's when I watch a programme, you know, Agatha Christie, I want to know who's done it before they actually tell you. And quite often you can guess, can't you? You get to halfway through and you think, well, actually, I do know. But yeah, it's still a good story. I didn't with this. There was that many turns. You know, I went from thinking it was one person to then thinking, oh, yes, it must be about the money. It must be a corporate type thing. And really, it kept me guessing to right at the end. And when you did actually find out, it floored me. You know, I even thought it was a secretary for a while. So no, in that respect, as a sort of a bit of a thriller, I thought it had everything there as well, because it did keep me guessing till the end.
Obviously chosen for Radio 4's Book at Bedtime, voted number one choice in the Richard and Judy Book Club of 2010, and film rights, I believe, under option. Do you see it as coming along in the same way as Ghost did, the movie a few years ago, that sort of line, that sort of romance? Would you see that coming?
I think it could very much be turned into a film, but I think they'd have to be very careful how they did it, so again, it didn't come across as too far-fetched. And I think it would be quite hard in a film scenario to get the feelings that this book evokes into you. So it would be a very long film, I think, and they'd have to like cut it down, and that's where unfortunately sometimes things are lost. So I think it would have to be done very carefully.
I suppose Rosamund did work as a scriptwriter. She has got that to her belt. She might want her to write the screenplay as well.
I think she should, actually. Yeah,
that may well already be answered. We'll just see how things actually go. Okay, finally, it's the time for the scores. Rob put in a grand solid 9 for this, for his recommendations. What are your thoughts?
A grand solid 9 as well.
Oh, there we are, 9 and 9. Extraordinary. In the studio, we're also joined by a young journalist, and of course, journalism, narration, narrative, stories, it's all pot and pot, the whole thing, Kaylee Carr. How are you, Kaylee?
I'm all right, thank you.
Very good. You've just started reading this particular book afterwards. So you've just heard, obviously, the critiques from Jill Prowse, from Rob Nichols, and obviously from Jill Appleton. What are your thoughts on the whole thing?
I think it's going to be a really good book. I'm actually really enjoying it. Even though I've just started, I'm interested to see what happens, who the arsonist is, because it has me thinking now.
Who do you think it is at this stage, just out of interest?
Oh, it's pretty hard to say. I honestly don't know.
Okay, that's just sort of see.
Interesting to see.
Well, again, and of course you actually went and purchased it. You actually bought the book.
Yes, it is.
Very good indeed. I mean, you know, authors like that. Rosamund Lupton will be delighted. Obviously, it's nice to see that Jill Prowse, they were recommending people to rush to the libraries and actually get it out as well, but it's also nice to actually support the author by buying the books, isn't it, Jill?
Yes, we have lots of copies at Middlesbrough.
Well, there you go. Yeah, all sorts of through with that. So, overall, then, what did you make of the afterwards text?
I really enjoyed it as well. I thought it was I liked the mystery side to it. I hadn't a clue who it was until I got right to the end. I found it quite emotional because I've got a daughter similar age to Jenny. So, and we have a kind of similar relationship where I don't always approve of what she's doing with life. And I could really relate to it. And then I was thinking, oh, if I was in that situation, what would I do? And yeah, I thought it was a really good book.
I made the point about obviously the register, and have to give thanks to one of our level two, also journalism students, actually, Natasha Turney, who provided the vocals for the reading.
Yes,
there.
Yes, yeah.
It wasn't me doing a sort of transcending, getting in touch with my female side of things.
I know, you're very good at voices. The Jamaican one, especially.
In a Usain Bolt's day, I'm not even going to go even. I'm not going to rise to that bait, Jill, but. Suffice it to say, I think it was a fascinating sort of take on the whole system that was there. It worked well. The pace was very good. Initially, I wasn't sure whether it was written very much from... Well, clearly, it is written from the woman's perspective, but I wasn't sure whether that might have alienated the male. I think from what Rob was saying, it actually didn't. It sort of still... It was like all good works of literature. You still actually got drawn in and took it from thence.
Yeah.
And the great news is that Rosamund Lupton will be heard again doing a little interview with ourselves very shortly after. I might indeed package it into the show as well.
Yeah, that would be good.
Very good. You hear it sort of straightforward. So, marks out of 10 for yourself. I won't ask you, Kaylee, because I think it will be fun fair, really, if you just sort of start getting into it to actually give a mark out of 10 at this particular stage. Jill?
I think I'm going to go for a 9 as well.
Go for a 9. I'm going to go 9.5 because she was such a wonderful interviewee. There we are. So I think probably in the lead actually this year. We've had some pretty stiff competition really in terms of that. I mean, obviously Dark Matter, the Blade itself, Joe Abercrombie.
Yeah. And of course Jenny Finch's book got good scores.
Jenny
too.
Finch plus of course The Alchemist, Paolo Coelho.
Oh yeah.
Singing story. So again, that's all coming through. It's just a bit of fun. Obviously, at the end of the day, we say go out there and get it sorted through. What's the next book of the month then, Jill?
Well, for next month we've got a book called When God Was a Rabbit by Sarah Winman.
Great. You like the metaphysical side of things. It's all very good. It's extraordinarily wonderful on that basis. So, Kaylee, will you be joining us for that?
Yes, definitely.
So it's nice to see that undergraduates these days, they've got a take on their literature studies, which is excellent stuff. And a reminder, of course, you can listen to all of the previous books of the month that we mentioned, going back to, 2011, beyond, etc., by going to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. One of these days, Jill, we're going to have to get you the poster across the library and sort of you can put that up so people can actually listen to that. Go with that whole routine. Jill, splendid as ever. We look forward to connecting with you again in, good heavens, September.
Yes, where's this year going?
Well, it's all over. And likewise, I think Rob will be back in the studio then, as indeed will Jill Prowse. But for now, from the Book of the Month team, it's time to say farewell. Happy trails. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Bye.
From Southside to the world, and in association with Middlesbrough Library Services, it's the Book of the Month with Jill Appleton.
For October, we have been reading The Fat Years by Chan Koon Chung.
For November's Book of the Month, we decided to give a novel by Geoffrey Archer a try.
This month, we have been reading the unusually titled The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society by Mary-Anne Schaffer and Annie Barrows. For our January Book of the Month, we have been reading Dark Matter by Michelle Paver.
For February, we have been reading another offering from one of Southside Broadcasting's favourite authors, Ian Lennox.
Our March Book of the Month is Small Island by Andrea Levy.
Book of the Month. More than a podcast, greater than a radio show, quite simply an audio treat for the enlightened with Jill Appleton and Jill Prowse. And every so often, some extremely lovely writers.
Now, when we look at the books of the month that have been selected for Southside Broadcasting over the last few years, there are a number that actually stand out as truly worthy items and entries into that whole field. No names at this particular stage, but we will actually mention the most recent one, which is one which I think uniformly has blown away the bulk of the readers, from the editor of the Fly Me to the Moon fanzine through to the revenue and customs officials. A whole range of things have just been unanimous in their praise for the fabulous Afterwards by the legendary Rosamund Lupton, ace individual, and somebody who we're delighted to be able to say is actually online at present. Rosamund, you are there, I take it.
I am, and what a lovely introduction. Thank you very much.
Ah, very important, very crucial that these things are put across from that point of view. We'll talk, obviously, initially about the text Afterwards, which was, of course, the number one choice in Richard and Judy's book club for 2010. In terms of developing that, I got a real sense of your screenplay writing, your script writing background, in terms of the pace and the way in which the thing was being delivered.
Yeah, I tend to write almost like a series of scenes when I'm writing a book, and I do keep the pace going. I think from writing scripts, you have to really keep that pace going so people don't turn over. And I apply that to novel writing. I want readers not to want to put the book down.
And was there a case where, in essence, the drive to writing the text, etc., brought you to this whole thing of sort of thinking, yes, you know, this is something that I feel the characters are beginning to write themselves?
Yes, and I think that's the wonderful thing about writing a book rather than a script, is that the characters become very real within the book rather than becoming an actor or an actress. And I actually went into book writing when a director said to me, really horrified, he held up my script and said, I want a script, not a novel. Because
I
used to write far too much stage direction.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I bet that director is sort of realising now what a mistake he's made in that sort of scenario.
I think he was right, actually. I'm much better at writing novels.
Yeah. Geoffrey Deaver, of course, wonderful master in his own routine. Yeah. I love a quote. I love a lovely quote from Geoffrey. We see a master's touch on every page in Afterwards. I would have said a mistress's touch, but, you know, I know where he's coming from. It's important from that point of view.
Yeah, that was very kind of him. I was very, I was immensely flattered by that quote.
It's great. The text itself, it carried resonances of the movie Ghost. It carried resonances of Randall and Hopkirk Deceased. And obviously, when you appreciate the joy of Afterwards, you get a flavour of what we're doing. There was a slight sort of element where we were thinking, was it going to become a generic SF-oriented fantasy piece for fiction? But you seem to have managed to get it grounded all the time. Just when we thought, we're going into an exploration of metaphysics here, you seem to have actually just brought it back neatly.
I'm glad. No, when I was writing it, I wrote Jenny and Grace, the mother and daughter, although they're spirits, very much as three-dimensional characters with their own kind of quirks and a relationship that was going to develop. So I think it felt very grounded in that way, that it's actually a character-based and a detective story rather than science fiction.
Absolutely. And again, that's sort of, you know, I was almost thinking at the end there, maybe you could actually have the characters go on to become a kind of extraterrestrial or extra entity based detective thing. But I think actually the rounding off at the end, you managed to tie up the loose ends extremely efficiently.
Thank you very much.
In the studio, Rosamund, we actually have a young lady who's currently doing a journalism degree, actually, at the University of Teesside. That's Kaylee Carr. Mm-hmm. Kaylee's just actually started with the whole thing. Kaylee, have you got any questions or thoughts that you'd like to share with Rosamund at this stage?
I've just actually started reading the book, and I find it really interesting to see how your characters work. I actually realised how much they come to life, and it's an inspirational text to me.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you very much.
You see, we're crossing the generations here, Rosamund, in every sense of the word from that point of view. We're going to go on to talk a little bit more about, obviously, the style, obviously, upcoming things, etc. But we're going to do the random authorial selection. I'm going to ask you for a number, please, Rosamund, between number 6 and 300... number 6 and 400, please.
Oh, gosh, I'm going to go... 11. That's completely random.
That's extraordinarily random, actually.
My son's age, actually.
Well, there we are. There's a line here. Well, this is where basically I do the tightrope routine, and I appreciate, obviously, it should be read, as indeed the excerpts are sort of coming together. I should have the female voice, but I shall do my best to actually just give you a little flavour of the whole thing here. I reached the end of the rug and felt the texture change, and then I felt the first step. I began to climb the stairs up to the second floor, on my hands and knees, keeping my face down to the oxygen. And all the time I was refusing to believe it could really be happening. This place was soft-cheeked children and fidgeting on the stairs and washing lines strung up against classrooms with flying pennants of children's drawings. It was reading books and chapter books and bean bags and fruit cut up into slices at break time. It was safe. Another step. All around me, I heard and felt chunks of Jenny and Adam's childhoods crashing down. Another step. I felt dizzy, poisoned by something in the smoke. Another step. It was a battle. Me against this living, breathing fire that wanted to kill my child. Another step. I knew I'd never get to the third floor, that it would kill me before I could reach her. I felt her at the top of the stairs. She had managed to get down one flight. She was my little girl, and I was here, and everything was going to be all right. All right now. Jenny? She didn't speak or move, and the fire's roar was getting closer, and I couldn't breathe much longer. I tried to pick her up as if she was still tiny, but she was too heavy. Hopefully that sort of did a reasonable amount of justice.
That was beautifully
read.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Well, it's something, because, you know, you could suddenly drop in words like existential psychoanalysis, and I went, oh, where are we going here?
Deliberately choose that page.
Well, there you go. It's a whole range of things. So, I mean, it always, asking an author to select the favourite of their text is a little bit sort of like saying, you can't ask me to choose between my children. But clearly, Sister was also lined up with respect to this whole setup we have afterwards. Is there a flavour that you sort of would prefer one against the other, or do you just think actually they're both wondrous?
I think Afterwards is my sort of secret favourite, actually. When I was writing it, I was sort of more creatively involved in a way. I had to write it quite quickly as well, so it was a very intense writing experience.
And in terms of that whole notion of working through the text, because clearly when we have students at the University of Lincoln and other universities, of course, there's a sort of line where you're consistently sort of saying sometimes if you do your preparation, then you can actually put your dissertation things together, etc., and don't write it all the night before. But would you say that actually sometimes if you're looking at that whole writing essence, you know, giving yourself that individual deadline is actually useful, and it gets back to the discipline of writing?
Yeah, I think doing the key thing you said was doing the preparation. I think if you spend enough time preparing, then the actual writing you can do relatively quickly because you know what you're doing. Hmm. I think the bad thing is to kind of skip over the preparation side. With Afterwards, I did a lot of preparing in the plot and thinking about the characters, so I could then write it relatively quickly.
I was very interested in terms of including the guide for reading groups, because, I mean, clearly, you know, we are not alone, and indeed Siren FM, our sister station with the reading room, has its own award-winning website, etc. Yeah. From that point of view, we do the same with respect to the Book of the Month. Yeah. Clearly, we've worked extensively with our folk at various literary festivals. In fact, I was astonished to find, when I was talking to one of our colleagues, Sarah Bullimore, that you were so close to actually being booked for one of the Lincoln Book Festivals a few years ago. It was outrageous. We need to obviously, raise the capital now. We need Rosamund Lupton up in the north, clearly.
I'd love to come.
Yeah, I shall set the campaign going from that point of view. But do you find, as the author, I mean, it's almost a phenomenon of the 21st century that, well, I say that, although Charles Dickens used to do this back in the 1900s, or the 1800s, I should say, 1900s, that was, where we were looking at how the author interacts with the audience and the notion from that point of view. Do you find that sort of useful, or do you think, actually, no, not another request from my agent to actually do yet another media interview?
No, I really like it. I mean, I like, you know, talking about books with people. I think that's wonderful, and I love it when readers email me or post stuff on the website. I love all that. I'm not very good at, you know, come and do Style magazine and be photographed doing something which has nothing to do with writing. I find that kind of
nerve-wracking
and awful.
Yeah, yeah, you and me both, Rosamund. It's just not on. You don't want to have a Style magazine coming to the studio here, please.
No.
It's not good. A reminder, of course, the web address is, of course, www.rosamundlupton.com. All manner of marvellous goodies actually come up with respect to that whole side of things. In terms of obviously heading, I mean, obviously the book at bedtime was an interesting one, and the adaptation of that, changing into different media forms, is that something where it's a reluctant handing over of the baton of the whole thing, or do you say?
I was so incredibly honoured to be a book at bedtime, and I actually think they did a really beautiful job on it. I mean, obviously, they were very courteous as well. They kind of warned me what they would be taking out. To streamline it so it would fit into the time frame.
Yes, as long as they decided not to actually say, and we've got to take this whole chunk out about the child, and Silas has
exactly.
to go. You know, he's obviously, you know, no mention of Silas. Sorry, it's just
no. We're going to get rid of all that. So, yeah. No, they were great. They really are very respectful. And did it beautifully.
Excellent. That's great. And I appreciate if you can't actually answer this, but in terms of looking ahead to options and various other things, are things looking good for, obviously, the motion picture slash at least miniseries?
Yeah, they are. I mean, I was a former scriptwriter, so I never believe it until it's
actually
being filmed. You know, I just think so many things can go wrong.
And there's always the dreaded word, oh, yes, it's in turnaround.
And turnaround.
No!
Oh, yes, exactly. And I've often been on turnaround. I won't count my chickens on that.
Very good. That's a very sensible routine. Kayleigh, any other questions or queries you've got at this stage? As a young style individual, blown away. Actually, Rosamund, it's Kayleigh's debut on the whole Essence today, so I think
it's very nice for me to hear her.
The next generation. That's the key thing. Well, Rosamund, we've got two final crucial questions to throw at you at this particular stage. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with this on your midweek drive debut?
Very interesting chat, yes.
Good. Well, the next crucial, critical question is, can we prevail upon you to join us again in the not-too-distant future?
I would love to, yes. It'd be a privilege.
Rosamund Lupton, author extraordinaire, of course, afterwards, in the words of the Daily Mail, a truly original new talent, one perfect day, one terrible crime. Marvellous. We salute you. Take care now.
Thank you.